Last Sunday, Barbara and I team preached. We plan to do that again today if she can get me to sit down here in a few minutes. Before I get into it, I just have to share this with you. This came, some of you have probably already seen this if you communicate on Facebook or by email with Pastor Jose Luis de la Torre. And you know that for the last several years, we've been supporting their project to build a new church. They're the reason we're here. We came here in 1985, started building. I was a contractor who actually built their church that they meet in now. Church seats about 1,000 people. And for the last several years now, we've been working on a new piece of land, a whole new church. And me being in the steel building business back in those days is what brought me to Mexico to build a church, and I just never left. We're still building churches in Mexico. But anyway, we had the structural steel up on this building for quite some time, and they had a small cyclone tornado last week that took that structure down. And so you've got thousands of dollars worth of structural steel in a big pile and heap of chaotic mess. Well, this is not hopeless, but it's sad. And so be in prayer about that. There'll be a lot. I might share with you that I really believe I can safely and truthfully say that 90% or more of the money that has built this new church so far has been Mexican money. And I've watched my own eyes as they have literally sold hot dogs and tamales and enchiladas and worked and worked and worked and worked. The local people, Mexican money, have sold a lot of tamales to build this church. And now they're going to have to sell a lot more tamales. But, you know, keep that in your mind and in your prayers. If you got $10,000 you know what to do with, I know exactly where it needs to go. One reason the structure has not been skinned, and was the reason it was weak, because the skin is the strength of a steel building. And it's been standing there in the winds and in the storms without the skin on it, without the lateral strength, we call it. And we're waiting to get to the point of $30,000 in order to skin it. And we weren't quite there yet. So the storm came first. And so be in prayer. You know, they're going to have to sell a lot of tamales. And there's a lot of labor-intensive work that has to be redone. But it's not the end of the world. I got to thinking about all the times that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down by the enemies. Guess what? They rebuilt them. They got torn down again. Guess what? They rebuilt them. Guess what? When it's all said and done, you read the end of the book, Jerusalem will stand. Amen. Hallelujah. So keep Pastor Jose Luis and his people in your prayers. We don't want them to be disheartened, but to find new encouragement. Amen? I'll plan to put this on the bulletin board if anybody wants to see it later. And okay, back to sermon of the day. Are you ready? I've been ready forever. You keep talking about other stuff. I love you guys. You're just so awesome. Look at somebody and say, you're awesome. You're awesome. Last week, as Barbara and I team preached, one of our lead scriptures was 3 John 3:2, Beloved, I wish above all things, I pray above all things, that you would prosper, be in health, as your soul prospers. And different translations break that up into different ways, but it all comes out the same meaning. Our prosperity and our health hinge upon our spiritual walk with God. And Barbara and I used that as a lead scripture last week. And before the day was over, after Sunday service, we're already working on today. You know, and it's like we couldn't get rid of that scripture. We couldn't drop it. We couldn't leave it. God just continues to speak along these lines. And all week long, we've been trying to define prosper, trying to define soul, things like that, health. How do you define these things? What are we really talking about out of this small scripture? How can it be saying so much? And so we're going to share some things with you about that. And I was totally blown away by some of my research. You know, you study, open your mind, because I don't know about you, but I've been in church all my life. I don't ever remember not being in church. And so I've been taught some stuff. And some of it's incorrect. The revelation of some truths have not fully come to light yet. It's like we grow in the truth of God's word. Have you ever raised a child? You know that a one-year-old has a different concept of how the kitchen is to be used and the food is to be prepared than a six-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or mama. Experience teaches us about the subject. And as we experience our walk with God and experience living out the Word of God, we better be learning and growing and not staying in kindergarten. And so I just felt my brain being forced to grow, my heart, my understanding being forced to grow this week. And I'm still like, but I was taught that. And why is now I'm seeing, it's like, it'll all come out in the wash. Everybody say, it'll all come out in the wash. I'll tell you what that means later. But part of this scripture that we found some, I'm not going to say conflict or disagreement, but some head scratching came into play when we got over to the place of we'd prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. A lot of the newer translations and very old translations will say as your spirit prospers. And so, well, we got to figure this out. Is it the spirit that's going to prosper or the soul? Well, I can tell you from a week of research and scratching my head and asking God, both need to prosper. And we found some interesting things to think about and chew on when you define by the Bible and go back to the Hebrew language and the original languages the Bible was written in. By the way, the Bible was not written in English or Spanish. Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek for the most part. And you go back to the original languages, and it's really hard to decipher between soul and spirit. They are so akin to one another. It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. But for the most part, okay, generally speaking, the spirit is the source of life. Now, have you ever seen the source of life? In yourself or in God or in life? Have you ever seen the source? Come on, tell me what the source of life looks like. The spirit, the breath of life. I can breathe, but what does it look like? Where does it come from? Where does this life impulse come from? You know, scientists and biologists and researchers in the world for centuries have been searching for the life cell or the life element or the life particle. And they think they found it, and then it escapes them, and they look for it again. Well, it's a God thing, and until you get where He is and become more like Him, you're not going to know everything about it. I need to keep my hand still. It keeps wanting to go like that, like I'm conducting an orchestra or something. But our spirit is the life source. And the life source that we have came from the life source. God is the life source and the source of all life. And we are receptors to that. The life that we live are a result of the reception of the life that He emitted or broadcast. That makes sense. Just go like that and we'll get it later. On the other hand, again, generally speaking, the soul has to do with emotions and thoughts and intentions and feelings. Well, how many know that our thoughts and intentions and feelings need to prosper? How many know that our spirit person, even though it may be born again, it needs to prosper. It needs spiritual enhancement, spiritual enlightenment. I need everything I can get from the Spirit to help me join with the Spirit in every way possible. I need spiritual things going on within me. But I also need the soul or the emotional things and the thought process. I need these things going on too. Well, if you think about it, God has a soul. Jesus said plainly in John 6:4, He said, God is spirit. So He's going to be hard to see as long as He's in that realm. Jesus ought to know. He's His Father, right? He said, God is spirit. Well, the way you find out what's going on in a spirit's life is watch his soul. His soul will have thoughts and reasonings and feelings and emotions. And if you read your Bible, you'll find out God had a lot of emotion. He had anger. He had joy. Do you know you can actually hurt God's feelings? That's the father part. And you mothers know what I'm talking about too. But, we're going to bring it over to the father. You fathers know that you can have your feelings hurt. Usually by your children. So, no, we don't go there. God can get his feelings hurt by his children. He also knows the joy that's when his children are strong and walking with him. So, in my personal concept of all this, I keep not switching back and forth, but I keep adjusting my thoughts and concepts. But right now, this morning, I personally see, as in John 4:24, that God is spirit, and our Father is the soul of God with all the emotions and feelings of a father. And Jesus is the Son, which is been given to us to manifest all of God in His totality. So God is complete, what we call the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's complete as a person. How about you? Wait, Mark, come on, help me. This is a human being most of the time. Does he have a body? Does he have a soul? Do you have any emotions? Yeah, see? Yeah. Okay, do you have a spirit? Can you breathe and have life? Is that you're living, right? You are a living being. So, like God, after didn't it say something about that in Genesis that we're created in His image? Spirit, soul, and body right there. I can't see His spirit, but I see the effects of it. I don't know how His spirit is feeling until I realize He has a soul, and I can tell what His spirit's feeling by what's going on in His soul. Right now, it's curiosity. And Jesus, the body of God. Do you know the Bible says, according to the Apostle Paul, that Jesus is the express image of the Father? You know what God looks like as spirit? You know what that spirit looks like? When He's incarnate and made flesh, He looks like you and me. He looks like Jesus. Go sit down, Jesus. Give Mark a hand. Yeah. Amen. So anyway, we as a person need to prosper and be in health. As our souls prospers, as our spirit prospers. And whatever the soul, whatever the spirit, whatever they look like, it all needs to prosper. Amen. Okay, just a couple of definitions for prosper. Prosper means to thrive, to flourish, to succeed, to aid, to favor, to forward, to help, to advance, to flourish, to grow, to be rich. I'll take that one. To thrive, to succeed, to batten, to increase. Prosper. How many want to prosper? The Bible says, according to 3 John 3:2, that He wants you and prays that you would prosper. First in the soul, and then let everything else just fall in place. Prosperity and health follow that. I want my soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it today, I'm calling it everything in both. I want my inner person, whatever part of me is connected to the spirit, and whatever part of me is connected to the soul, I want that inner man within me to prosper. Because if he's happy, everybody's happy. You heard the term, if mama's happy, the whole house is happy, right? Well, if your inner man, your inner woman, your inner person is happy, everything else has to line up with happy. And you can have the world falling down all around you, but if you got peace on the inside, you'll pick up and just keep stay on with life and you'll make it through the storm. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible has a beautiful definition that Barbara shared with us last week of defining prosperity. And I'm going to read that to you out of 2 Corinthians 8. Or was it 9? 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And the Amplified Version is so beautiful on this. Okay, everybody say, say the definition of prosperity. Is found in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all, how much? All grace and every, how many? Every favor and earthly blessing. Do you know that prosperity includes earthly blessings? It says so right here in the Bible. You know, I used to think that prosperity was just a spiritual thing. But the Bible says differently. It says that all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing will come to you in abundance. How much is that? Mark, how much is abundance? Like my belly, right? So that, there's a reason for this abundance. So that you may always and under all circumstances and in whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. You should be able to give, buy Girl Scout kickies. I can't talk today. You should be able to buy Girl Scout cookies and not feel guilty about spending the money. Prosperity is having more than enough so that you can share. I don't know if it, you know. I don't know all of you, or I don't know where all of you are, or have, whether you have a job or not, or have any money in your pocket. But I think most of us, probably all of us, could say that. I may not be rich, but I have enough I could share. You know, in Mexico, we go into some poor colonies where the people are really hurting. And they're the first to share what they have. You go into a little shack made out of cardboard to the dirt floor and start talking to them about Jesus, and she's over there digging, trying to find some tortillas and a bean or two if she can find it. She's going to share with you before you leave, or a cup of coffee, something. Amen. Well, that's prosperity, to have enough to share. Okay, let's go on. You ready to go on? I want to look at 1 Timothy 6:17. And 1 Timothy 6:17. And I'm going to read about two or three verses there. Paul's talking to Timothy about this. He says, command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty. He didn't tell the rich to not be rich. He said, tell the rich not to be haughty. Mark, how do you be haughty? Show us how to be haughty. Yeah, you did good. Command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I don't know how many things you have or what those things are, but they were given to you by God that you might enjoy them. Anybody have a car? You're supposed to be enjoying it. Anybody have new shoes, new, used or otherwise? You're supposed to be enjoying them. Things are to be enjoyed because they come from God. You might say, well, I don't have enough things. Yeah, you do. Be satisfied with what you have, you'll get more. Grumble about what you have and have not, and you'll get less. This is good preaching. Pat me on the back here. And number 18, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Do good, rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Boy, now, wouldn't you like to have a church full of those? Whoa, I do have. Well, I don't have a church full of those, but everybody that's in the church is like that. I see good people, rich in works, good works, ready to give, willing to share. Now, verse 19, by doing that, you're storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. Whoa. Now, go over, we're going to back up a few verses to chapter 6. We're still in chapter 6, by the way. We didn't leave that. But go to verse 6. Are you doing this on the board, too? Am I staying up with that? Okay, 6:6-8. Now, godliness and contentment is great what? Would you call great gain prosperity? Amen. Well, godliness with contentment. If you're not content with your godliness, not that you're super spiritual and so pure and holy that I can't touch you. Not that kind of godliness. Godliness in that you seek the Lord and do your best, okay? You seek the Lord and you do your best. You're on the increase. You plan to be better. Amen. By the grace of God, you plan to be better. Well, this kind of godly, be content with that, because that's prosperity. You will have great gain or prosperity in the contentment. Somebody with a contented heart is a happy person, a rich person. I like verse 7. He said, we brought nothing into this world. Every time I read that, I see a naked baby. That's okay, right? They're real cute. You pick them up by the legs, you spank them on the butt, and they cry, and life starts. There you go. Beginning of life right there. Now, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. So having food and clothing, with these we'll be content. How many had something to eat today or could have had something to eat today? Yeah. How many wore clothes to church? Whew. Thank God. Be content with that. Oh, you know, my clothes have holes in them. Well, that's the style. I think one of the best ways to sum up prosperity, or the definition of prosperity, is to define it like this. Good attitude about anything, anywhere, anytime. Good attitude. Look at the one sitting next to you, see if they got a good attitude. Yeah, that person's prosperous. That person's prosperous. Thanks, Mark. Amen. Now, Barbara's going to do some things here in a minute. There's the clock. You got time. I just got to share this. In looking at the prosperity of the soul, I kind of brought it over into my realm of life a little bit to make my soul happy. A prosperous soul is a happy soul. Something that prospers my soul, increases the joy in my soul, something that spiritually enhances me, are things that I can enjoy. I enjoy things that you do not enjoy, but they're soul food to me. You enjoy things that I might not enjoy, but it's soul food to you. And even in this natural, earthly life, there are things we can enjoy that have to do with our prosperity because it makes us feel good. We can't go by feelings. I'm not going by feelings. I'm enjoying feelings. We walk by faith, not feelings. Okay, our walk with God's with faith. But He expects you to have feelings because it's part of your soul process, and He gave it to you as a gift, and you're supposed to have feelings. It helps you know what to enjoy and what to adjust. Are you still with me? Some of the things I just brought out, you know, out of my brain, I brought some things I want to share with you that I enjoy. It makes me happy. It's some soul food for me, okay? The ocean. I can't begin to tell you how that feeds my wife's soul. I like it a lot. But I have, if anything ever comes between us in marriage, it'll be the ocean. You know, every time we go, it's like I'm waiting for her to say, it's the ocean or you. I've got to make a choice. Yeah. She loves the ocean. She can sit down in the sand and let the waves come splashing up on her legs and getting sand in her pants, and you know how it is. She just loves it. And I can watch with these eyes, I can watch her soul being fed by that. Spiritual enhancement takes place on the beach when she's sitting in the sand. She comes up happier, more pleasant, easier to get along with, sweeter, more romantic wife. Try it. You'll like it. San Carlos is just 6 hours away. And don't leave till after church, okay? Mountains. Oh, that's, again, my wife has taught me to appreciate the mountains. I appreciate the mountains. I've always enjoyed the mountains. But when I was a kid growing up, the mountains meant work because that's where we went to chop wood. Went up to cut trees and chop wood and bring it home. Even if we went fishing or hiking or whatever, you know, we had to bring a little wood home to pay for the trip. You know, it's the way my dad operates. So mountains to me, it didn't just signify something beautiful and pleasant. It signified work. So everybody says, let's go to mountains. And I'm going, okay. But not this girl. She says, give me a mountain. I got to climb it. She just absolutely adores the mountains. And again, the romance comes after every mountain trip. She just, hey, we're playing with this, but it's the truth. Certain things make your wife happy, and that makes everybody happy. Certain things make your husband happy, and that makes everybody happy. I hear a big diesel engine start up in a truck or a tractor. I literally get goosebumps. I can walk up close to a train, an engine that's running on the track, and that thing's sitting there idling, and the ground under the train, the ground several feet out is vibrating. I can just goosebumps. God! Oh, I know what heaven's going to be. Big engines, pulsating power. You women think I'm crazy, but some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Right, Larry? Yeah. If it makes you feel good, it's soul food. Sometimes we, you know, I don't want to diminish seeking God. I will not diminish seeking God. But I want to bring us out of the super spiritual realm a little bit and help us enjoy life. Or we'll let it pass us by and we'll miss something. We need to be prospering in this life that we live, in this community in which we have been planted. Go play kickball. Do something fun. Running water. Sunrise and sunset. We live in the middle of the valley out there in Kings Highway, and so we see almost every sunrise and every sunset. And this valley's got to have the best on earth. I feel sorry for you people that live in town and all you can see is a house on the other side. God deliver you. Animals. Anybody have a pet? Do the pets make you happy? Well, yeah, after you clean up the poop and, you know. Enjoy your animals. By the way, this is going to scare you. Please do not throw rotten tomatoes or call me a heretic or a false prophet. But in our research of soul and spirit, we found out that animals have both. Now, I was taught as a child that animals had no soul. Do animals have feelings? Can you hurt their feelings? Do they have emotions? Those are traits of the soul. Will they be in heaven? We'll find out soon. Will the bad ones go to hell? I hope so. My dad has a rooster and deserves hell. How about pleasant people? People we click with again. Do pleasant people make you feel better? Are they good for your soul? That's soul food. You're prospering in the soul when you get around people who make you feel good. That's why I follow you all the time. Huh? This is just down where we live, okay? Barbara, come stand beside me. Food and drink. Paul said, be content with food and drink and raiment. How many of you are wearing something new? I've only had this about a month. This is new. Jasmine told me it was cool, so I wore it again. Yeah, that's pretty, Rosie. That is beautiful. I love that color. Everybody's wearing that color nowadays. Even it's beautiful. He's got it over there. Funny blue, aqua blue, whatever it is. Did it make you feel good to wear something pretty? Well, I don't know how to tell you this. It may not be real spiritual, but it's soul food. Go through your closet and wear the prettiest thing you have every time. I've got this poverty mentality I've been dealing with. I tend to wear what needs to be worn out so I can throw it away and save the good. But you know, get rid of that poverty mentality. Go to the closet, pick out what looks best and wear it. And then tomorrow, if that's soiled and in the laundry, pick out the next one that looks best. There'll always be something in there that looks best. That's the one you should wear every day. The one that looks best. That's soul food when you look good. I look good. Barbara, I'm almost finished with my game here. How about eating out? Talking about food and contentment with food. Anybody enjoy eating out? Too bad Connie and Bill are gone on vacation. Connie eats out 3 times a day when Bill lets her. So that woman loves to eat out better than anybody I've ever. Eating out make you feel good? How about favorite foods? Anybody for flan, Mexican flan? Yes. God food, angelic food, heaven's manna. Ooh, garden fresh. My wife's big on garden fresh. I'd just soon open a can of beans, but she wants to go to the garden and pick them fresh. You know. Does that make you feel good? You should see her. We're raising these peppers. We've got peppers that are hot, medium, and mild, and super hot. And the ones that are medium and mild, are these little. We've never grown them before. I don't know what to call them. I've never seen them before. They're about that long and about twice as long as my thumb and same size. And they're sweet like a bell pepper, but they have a unique flavor that just, it's just amazing. I don't know what they are. You just got to try it. And my wife will sit down and she'll open that little pepper and eat it, savor it. She'll open it up, put little pieces of cheese in it, eat it, put salt and pepper on it, eat it. All she just loves these little peppers and it's, I can watch her soul increase and prosper when she's eating peppers. Now go ahead and laugh. It's funny, but it's the truth. If we're going to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers, we need to learn to enjoy life. Come on. Say, what's with you today? What's with you? You really seem like you've got the world by the tail. I have got the world by the tail because I am prospering, walking in health. Because I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whatever state you're in, whatever circumstances surround us, I have learned to be content. Therefore, I am prosperous and I'm happy and I'm going to dance a jig when I want to dance a jig. Yeah. God wants you happy because happy is connected to health. We could go into some medical research and find out that's the truth. Amen, Maria. Happiness is connected to health. Barbara, I only have one more page, but I'll skip it. I was going to go into, but I got to give her some time. I was going to go into what wounds the soul or spirit. Anybody been wounded? Feelings hurt? I got you so happy now, I don't want to go there. But we know we can be wounded. Our soul can be wounded as well as prosper. By the way, while we're on this subject, if you've ever quit going to church because somebody hurt your feelings, what about all those other fine folks in that church that didn't hurt your feelings? Go for them. Go ahead. She said, you leave me with that?
Hallelujah. I'm calculating. I don't have time to do this. Hallelujah. 3 John 1:2 is our theme, and it says, be in health as your soul prospers, and soul is spirit there also in that, in this scripture. And so we want to look at how can our soul prosper? You know, what makes our soul prosper? And there's one thing is that we be transformed. We begin to think different. We think according to the Word of God. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it says in Psalms 19:7 that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting our soul. And so we need the Word to have a strong soul. We need the Word. We need to know what that Word says. And we get the Word from a whole lot of different ways. And but we need the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to memorize it. We need to hear it. We need the Word every way that we come. We need to mutter it and study it. Hallelujah. One of the things that prospers our soul is seeking the Lord. And it says, Psalms 42:1-3 says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So a healthy soul is a soul that's hungering for God, thirsting for God. I mean, a deer really does pant and look for the water that's running. And so shall our souls hunt for God and search for God and the living, the life. It's important to walk in the Spirit and be in the Spirit, because in the Spirit, that's where the life is. And so it's good to seek the Lord, to follow His Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, it says when Jude 1:20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When we talk in tongues, when we pray in the Spirit, it's like it charges our batteries. It's good for our souls. Hallelujah. It's important to keep our eyes on the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we keep our eyes on Jesus, on the glory of the Lord, whatever we're looking at is like a magnet that draws us. And when we look to God and look to His glory, it draws us unto Him. Hallelujah. He draws us. Hallelujah. When we put our eyes on the Lord. Hallelujah. So you can't put your eyes on what the devil's doing, because it'll just draw you toward Him. Put your eyes on what God's doing. Put your focus on Him. Hallelujah. Look to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's important to listen to God's voice. I'm going to read Proverbs 3:5-7 in the Message version. And it says, trust the Lord from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one that'll keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God and run away from evil. Hallelujah. It's important to have a heart to seek God, to run after God. Hallelujah. Go for Him, because that's where there's life. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Declare His benefits. Psalms 103:1-5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. From our soul, worship the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And don't forget all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth's renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. And we need to make it personal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God forgives my iniquities. You know, we've sinned, but God forgives my sins. He forgives them. Hallelujah. That's good for me to know. He heals all my diseases. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Maybe that's not what I deserve, but that's what my God gives me. He gives me His loving kindness and His tender mercy, and that's good for my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Another way to have a healthy soul or spirit is to be joyful. Psalms 35:9 says, and now am I my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 8:10 says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. And if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have joy in us, because joy is one of the gifts of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And sometimes that joy's in there. If God's in there, that joy's in there, and we just need to stir it up. Hallelujah. We need to stir up that joy. Hallelujah. Because it's in there. And that's good for us. Hallelujah. And Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Get into the presence of God. Get into where he's at. Because where he's at, there's joy. Hallelujah. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir up that joy. Because joy is good for our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's important to say the right things, to speak right. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue will keeps his soul from troubles. Is your soul in troubles? Then watch what you're saying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speak life. Speak life. Speak the right things. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words, pleasant words. We can go back to that old saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Speak pleasant words. Hallelujah. They're good for the soul. Hallelujah. And be generous. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You know, there's so many ways we can be generous. We can be generous with people in someone that's trying our patience. We can be generous with them. We can love them. We can just speak good to them, speak good things to them. Hallelujah. Generosity is a lot bigger than money. It includes money and finances, but be generous with those that's around you. Give them grace and mercy. Here's one in Proverbs 11:17. Be merciful. It says, the merciful man does good for his own soul. When we're merciful to other people, it's good for our soul. Hallelujah. But it says, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. You know, if we're cruel, our soul is not healthy. Hallelujah. Be merciful. Hallelujah. The Psalms 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Hallelujah. That's our God. Hallelujah. I want the Lord on my side because he's merciful and generous. He's slow to anger and he's abounding in mercy. And for us to have a healthy soul, we need to act like God acts. Hallelujah. We need to be generous to one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's important to listen to wisdom. In Isaiah 11:2-3, it lists the spirits of God, and wisdom is one of the spirits of God. Proverbs 8:34-36 says, blessed is the man who listens to me, wisdom, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And those who hate me love death. So those that hate wisdom love death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to hunger for God and his wisdom. What does God say? It needs to be before our eyes. God, I want your wisdom. I want your wisdom. And the word says in James, if you want wisdom, ask God and he gives it freely. Hallelujah. Just want the wisdom of God. Go for wisdom. Hallelujah. There is life in it. Hallelujah. It's important to ask God to search our heart. Remember, King David said, "Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And there's all kinds of things that can be in us that can hinder our soul's health, that our soul will be unhealthy. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, that's hard on our soul. You know, we're not in a place of receiving the blessings of the Lord until we can turn loose of that unforgiveness. Let it go. Let it go. If there's anger, you have to let it go. You have to give it to God. You have to turn it loose. Hallelujah. To have a selfish, satisfied, healthy soul, you need to let those negative things go. And that's why it's important to ask God, search my heart. You know, and if there's fear there, or, you know, fear and faith don't mix. If there's fear there, ask God, "Lord, here I am. I'm seeing things in my soul that's not healthy for my soul." And just say, "God, I repent. I turn it to you and I ask for your help." And just let it go, because God forgives our sins. God forgives our sins, and he makes us whole again. You know, we do walk in a dirty world, you know, and there's all kinds of evil spirits out there. And, you know, if we can find them, and they can attach themselves to us. And so we need God to say, "Okay, God, look in my heart. I want a healthy soul. Search my heart. Know my heart." And when we find wrong in there, just, it's so easy to say, "God, forgive me for this, forgive me." And God sets us free. He makes us whole. He makes us right. Hallelujah. He said, I beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. How can we prosper our soul? How can our soul prosper in the things of the Lord? I'm going to read a scripture in Colossians 3:12-15, and this is kind of a picture of a prosperous soul. And it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy in blood, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's a contented soul. Hallelujah. Be gracious to one another. Be forgiving to one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I felt it early in the service. I feel there's some people here that have trouble in your soul. Your soul is heavy. There's just some things hurting you. There's some things that you just need to let go off your soul so that your soul can prosper. And this is in having to do with your emotions. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, just ask God to search your heart. Just open your heart up to the Lord and say, "God, search my heart." And if there's if you see a need in your heart, if you see something there that you just want out of your life, God wants to set you free today. I just feel there's someone here that has had an angry spirit, and God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Hallelujah. There's haloko aishabo alini tiai o kailinia hai. There's been somebody here that's had a hard time with fear. Fear's just tormented you, and you've been afraid. God wants his pour his love in and set you free. God's the God of more than enough. He's the deliverer. He is the one that he forgives us, but he delivers us from evil. He delivers us from things that have been hard on us, that have tormented us. God doesn't want us to have any torment in our heart at all. He wants us free and rejoicing and happy in him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If you would like prayer for anything today, just come. And the Lord is going to meet you here, and He's going to minister life to you. Oh, la haya sheni ando bakalilinda la nanaya sheni andaya loho. If you have anxiety, hallelujah, God wants to give you peace today. He wants to heal that soul, heal those things in your heart. Just to pour your love in, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving across this congregation right now, for moving upon the hearts, all of our hearts, Father, for drawing us, setting us free. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free, for setting us free. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.